see the cars passing. They want to see some crashing and banging a little bit. They want to be entertained by the announcer, who I think is the most important employee at the track, at least on the spectator side of the equation. And they want to, you know, they want to have heroes that they can watch and come back week after week and see how their guy does against somebody else. And that part of the sport is missing. And of course, you got all the other entertainment options now competing with auto racing. And the guys who promote short track auto racing are in for a tough go, although there's still 40 or 50 tracks nationally that have just fantastic programs. They get big crowds. They do all the things that you're supposed to do right. So it can be done. It's just that a lot of people aren't doing it very well right now.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you a dumb question. I'm sure I already know the answer to this, but I'm sure you've been to Bowman Gray Stadium.
I have, yeah.
I hear that is every week, full house, full car counts, and that's been going on there for as long as anybody can remember. I've never been there personally, but I hear it's a heck of a show if you can get a chance to watch a show there.
Yeah, the thing that's great about Bowman Gray is that they've got a long history, and they've been running there for 50 years or whatever it is, so that's a good thing. They're also kind of in a smaller market. There's probably less other entertainment choices, so that keeps people at the track. I know I watched one of their, they had a TV show about Bowman Gray and the drivers that were racing there, and I guess there's a lot of rivalries as well. And the track's small. As I recall, it's a flat asphalt track, or pretty flat, and there's a lot of contact, and so it's just good racing. Plus, the Southeast is a great market for auto racing, and on the short track basis, that's kind of where it all started. And you know, Bowman Gray just has a lot of stuff going for it, and they've been able to keep it going.
Right. Now, have you been to the track just outside of Fultonville, about 5 miles from Fonda Speedway, Glen Ridge?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Really?
That's a relatively new track, last 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Yep.
So that's good. You mentioned Fulton, and Fonda, I think, is somewhat near there, obviously it's a New York track, and one of the things I noticed about Fonda when I was up there is that there's a McDonald's across the highway, and inside the McDonald's is a kind of like a Hall of Fame deal.
Yep, that's the Fonda Speedway Hall of Fame, yep.
Yeah, and it's probably the only Hall of Fame I'm aware of that's in a McDonald's.
Yep, yeah, that's been there for quite a while, Fonda, that's kind of my home track. I miss Fonda. I live in Florida now, but Fonda always have a place in close to me. My grandmother, when she was alive, she saw one stock car race in her life, and it just happened to be the night that my father, and matter of fact, it was the only night that his modified won at Fonda Speedway. So, you know, that was kind of memorable for me. So, plus I've raced there for several years prior to moving to Florida, so, you know.
Now, they get flooded out once in a while, don't they? That river?
Yeah, they had a big flood this year. Yeah, there was a big flood in New York this year. It wiped out a lot of stuff up there in Fonda. Luckily, it was around their fair time, and I think they only lost a day or two for the fair. But back when Fonda was scheduled to reopen, I think they made it on time, so, you know. But it was completely underwater.
It's kind of funny you mentioned Fonda, you being from that part of New York. That's one of the things I like about what I've been able to do in track chasing. I can meet somebody in an airplane or just about anywhere, and wherever they're from, I've been there. I know something about what they're up to. And I kind of like to say to people, I don't believe that wherever you were born, I am sure I have seen a track within 50 miles of where you were born. And that's probably true for 99% of the people that I end up meeting.
Right. Well, Randy, it's definitely been an honor. I've been wanting to shoot the crap with you for a while here. I'm glad I got the privilege to have you on. I know we got a little delayed here the last time. It was my fault. It was my doing. So I appreciate you being able to come on and talk about all your endeavors. And I really want you to keep in touch with us. Is there any kind of website or anything that people can go and check out your activities? Or
website. Its domain name is Randy Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, randylewis.org. And on my website, right now I have more than 300 videos of the tracks I've been to. I've got about more than 70,000 photographs of all places I've been to. And this isn't just about the race cars and the race. It's also about the town I was in, the things that we did, and that sort of thing. If that address is difficult to remember, a good way to search it with whatever your search engine is just to search for World Number One Track Chaser, and my website will come up here at the top of the list or at the top. And I update it after every track I see. Although I'm a little bit behind right now, I'm still posting new reports every couple of days. So it's going to be changing stuff. And if you don't have too much time, you want to go on that website, I'd recommend going on the videos tab and just clicking on a couple of YouTube videos. They're usually 5 or 6, 7 minutes long. And you'll get a chance to see the racing action and some other stuff that I think people find entertaining. I get a lot of positive feedback about that. So it's either randylewis.org or do a search for World's Number One Track Chaser.
Yeah, I noticed that too on a couple of the ones I clicked on. I noticed that you've got some pictures from some of the towns and some of the neat little things. And it's nice to see, not just, like you said, the stock car pictures and the racing pictures, but actually get an idea of the small towns and where some of these tracks are located and the geographics. And it's kind of neat to see that stuff from me not being able to, say, go out to the Midwest and see a track in a little small town. You're there, and you get to see it, and I get to see it through what your eyes and what you're seeing. And it's like, man, I can't have the privilege to do what he's doing, but, I the second best thing, I can sit here and I can look at pictures and enjoy seeing these other different tracks and these other different venues that you get the opportunity to go to. So for that, I thank you.
Yeah, that's really one of the reasons I do it. I mean, I've obviously seen this stuff. I've got the pictures on my computer. I can look at them anytime I want. But there's a lot of people that live in Illinois. They're not going to be able to see a race in New York. They're in New York, and they're not going to be able to see a race in Illinois. So, this, like you say, you'll be able to see it. And also, I did recommend that people check out the videos and the pictures from the foreign countries. Because before I started traveling internationally, I had no idea what racing would look like in Bulgaria or New Zealand or England. And you get over to seeing racing in all these different places, and on the one hand you find that the people and the racing and the competitiveness is pretty much identical to what it